So, Julie Prescott, are you having another exciting day today? Another exciting
good
day.
Afternoon, almost afternoon. It's about 11:45. We are back in the 12th floor of the State Capitol for the admin portion of the Public Service Commission's regularly scheduled meeting. Call this meeting to order. We have a couple items on consent. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Who came off probation, Darrell?
Pat Hart.
Excellent. Congrats, Pat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Under discussion matters, we have four items. The PSC Granville Pipeline Safety Enforcement work session / formal hearing. Pat.
Well, staff, advocacy staff filed a consent agreement. And the question for the commissioners this morning is, how do you want to proceed? Do you want to, if you've looked at the consent agreement, perhaps you have decided whether you like it or not. If you like it, we can put it on for commission action at the next meeting. If you want to have a work session, we can do that. If you haven't gone through, if you have questions about the agreement or some of the items in the agreement, if you want to visit with the city of Granville, you know, we can arrange something like that.
Well, I have thoughts on this. I throw it right away if you
go
want.
Go ahead. I haven't had a chance to look at the consent agreement, so I'm not of much value to this discussion, I have to admit.
Well, I think that I asked Pat to bring this up for the three of us to talk about a little bit, but I'm already biased to what I want, so I'll put it out there. This is not the first time we've dealt with the city of Granville. I've reviewed the consent order. I think the consent order is appropriate, but I think they need to become they, and that's the question, who is they? Is they bring the mayor down here or whoever, but the city needs to come down here and at least visit with us because and talk about how they're going to follow through what they're admitting to do in the consent order, because we've been dealing with Granville for 8 years. They continue to have struggles up there with personnel turnover. We've almost shut them down several different times. So I don't just want this to be an item that pops up on our agenda. We approve the consent order. I want the city to come down here and, quite honestly, feel some of the concerns that we have directly and answer their questions to see their commitment coming back that they're going to follow through on it. So whether that means an informal, I think that'd be appropriate. But definitely want at least an informal. Be my thoughts.
I'm certainly fine with that. You know, on how many of these do we have city-owned gas companies?
Not very many. Two, Hedinger, and then MDU bought them, right? So right. Now maybe it's just one.
It's really just one municipal-operated system.
So, Karen from MDU, why don't you guys go up and help those guys out, just like you did in Hedinger? But, I mean, that's the root cause that I want to talk through. We met with them, oh, my goodness, 6 years ago, Pat. We had the mayor down here and some of the city commissioners, and I think that we need to have that discussion again because this is pretty serious what goes on up in Granville. I don't think we can continue to have them limp this along. I'd like to get some reassurances from the city. They're either going to pay their people enough to keep them or they're going to look at ways to move this system to somebody else, because I think we're walking a tightrope with the city of Granville about the safety, what's going on up there.
Well, that and when penalties are agreed to, you know, it just falls back on the taxpayers. And they're not as voluntary a group as the investors would be in one of the investor-owned utilities. So I feel sort of bad about penalties, too, in that way, in that it goes to the taxpayers, not the people who are running that ship there. So I think an informal, I'd be very supportive of that request.
Fine with me. Do you want to move it to scheduling then for an informal?
If I could,
or do
Madam
you
Chair,
need to get some dates from the city?
I get some dates from the city, maybe, because what I'd like to have is the city manager and the mayor down here at least.
Okay.
So that may take some scheduling challenges to do.
The League of Cities is coming up in about, I don't know, about a month.
Yeah.
And held in Bismarck this year. Sure. Maybe they'll be in town for that.
Okay, Pat, you want to work with that?
Sure.
All right. Yes. Number two, Glacier Ridge Wind Farm update.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'll get right to it. Last commission meeting, I asked some questions of my colleagues and went back and thought about some of your responses and met with Julie Prescott and Zach several different times since the last meeting. And kind of where we're at is I do not want to move this forward for a application complete until all their stuff is in. We talked about 30 days before and giving them some waivers in there, but really, you know, it's 20 days notice period. I really don't like the idea, after I thought about it some more, where we deem something complete contingent upon all this stuff showing up 30 days in advance. It puts our staff in a heck of a situation. Quite honestly, it puts us in a situation where if there's something we don't have exactly want the right way is not there, we're not there either. So we really are only looking for a couple things from the company right now to have it complete to where I think it's appropriate. And so what I'd like to do is just let the company, if they get everything they need, perhaps we'll review it, Zach and I and Julie, and maybe ask for a special meeting. If not, then we'll put it on the agenda for September 7th. But I no longer like the practice of deeming something complete contingent upon. I think it's complete, fine, but not until then. So that's just my update, I guess. And so if they get it, like I said, we'll have this. Hopefully Friday they have everything in, so we'll go through it Friday afternoon and Monday. And if I think everything there is appropriate, then I would talk to my colleagues and see what our schedules look like. But there's just a lot going on in this case. It's not only the things we talked about. There's the interconnections. There's the MISO stuff. There's the different landowner concerns. There's the setbacks. So I want to make sure we've got everything hunky-dory before it's moved forward.
When you say setbacks, what do you mean? Setbacks from?
Well, just we've had open discussions that's kind of moved the ball a little bit from the Brady 1 and 2 about setbacks from non-occupied landowners and some of the things that we've asked for. I just want to make sure we've got good maps that Randy's talked about, make sure we've got all the things that we need beforehand. Now, the point about the studies, you know, the full year studies, now we know those will not be completed, but I think that's okay. And talking through with Zach, there's nothing that says that they have to have a year's worth of studies. So that one, we know they're still not going to have that study. But I did entertain the idea of not even doing this until the studies are complete. But then Zach made a very good point. He said, listen, there's nothing that says particularly the amount of study. It could be 1 month. It could be 2 years. So that seems appropriate.
Well, I'm comfortable with the 30 days. I think that gives our staff enough time to review, and I think it gives us enough time to review and the public. So I was comfortable with that time frame and think that it's a reasonable compromise between providing firm and deadline and clarity to the company and to the public about what's expected when, but allowing people to get things scheduled and projects to proceed. But so I'm comfortable with 30 days, and I if they weren't close to meeting it, I'd probably resist a little bit putting that off longer. I think sometimes people need deadlines, and it's a good tool for companies and everybody to use to say you got to get this stuff done. But
well, that would be the deadline.
In that case,
it's not complete until their stuff is in. And the 30 days, I thought about that more. We put our staff in a heck of a situation where they have a deadline. Get it into us, and we'll deem it complete. So I mean, they have a deadline then, and it doesn't put our staff in an untenable situation, and it does make sure that we have all the stuff. And that's where, as the portfolio holder,
So tell me, I'm not following your concerns with the pressure that puts on staff, that they are pushed into deeming something complete because they're getting inadequate stuff. I mean, how is it different whether it's 30 days or when they actually get here?
I think the difference is that when you go to deeming complete, when the application's completed, from what the portfolio holder's viewpoint is, if it's got all the things in there that I think we need, I reckon talk with them. We put it forward. I put the motion forward to deem it complete. If you go the other way, I just don't like the practice of making sure stuff, having stuff trickle in. We've already got the hearing set. People's schedules are built. All of a sudden, something doesn't show up at day 30. It shows up 29 days in. What do you do? Well, we'll just do it.
I don't like the idea of the portfolio holder having the ultimate authority on what is complete and when, and it changes constantly. I think we have to have some clarity for all the companies that we regulate so that they know, like, this is what's expected and these are the rules. Now, in this case, if you want to require them to have everything in and they're close and we can schedule the hearing and deem it complete after that, I'm fine with it, but I don't necessarily agree with you that this is the way to go for every project always moving forward. I think we need, and these companies are managing a lot. There's a bunch of moving parts on all these projects, and providing the clarity on what we expect and when so that the public has access and we have access to it in the right amount of time, I think that's reasonable and that's the right approach.
I can imagine exceptions to it that you know, there are just situations where you'd want to deem something complete with the acknowledgement that there's one or two things that really aren't complete and that those will be coming in and have to be in within 30 days prior. The flip side to that, though, is some of the cases that we've had in recent months or in the last few years, I'll say, where we've got very little and we just deem it complete, and then it drags on and drags on and drags on and gets filed in just days before or at the meetings is just completely unacceptable. It's not fair to us and our staff, but more importantly, it's not fair to the public out there who, if they're particularly interested in the case, needs to be able to access this information. The point of going out and having hearings is to get information and hear concerns of the public, and if they have no idea what the proposal is, we can't very well accept them to provide much insight. And so I'm not sure exactly where the hard and fast line is.
Getting rid of the 30 days. I mean, that was what we decided, and we decided on here's what's required and here's the time frame. So I would never go back to getting rid of anything less than 30 days, because I think that's necessary for us and for the public. So I agree with you.
But the 30-day thing, you know, okay, so if you get to the 30th day and they don't have it, do we expect our staff to actually go out and cancel a public hearing and shut the whole thing down when the company's calling and saying, well, but in one more day we'll have it. It's in the mail. And then when that day comes and, well, okay, but one more, it's 28 versus 30.
Yeah. No, then where do you ever draw that line? That does create a line in the sand. I think it would be something we'd have to enforce pretty strictly, but we haven't had that issue yet because we haven't tried the 30 days for that long. I think we've only used it for one case. But you've put a lot of time in this one. You've looked at it, and I think that, I mean, I'm comfortable on this one, waiting until they get everything in. And it sounds like you might have an agreement worked out for them to do that. So I think that we can give it another meeting and see where we're at.
And where does setting that when they get the last stuff in, how does that play with the scheduled hearing date that we already have?
Depends how quick if the information shows up on Friday like they believe it is, and we go through it Friday and think it looks good, then we could potentially have a special meeting next week, and we're still on schedule.
That's still timely way to advertise it and get our number of days.
It really is a 20-day announcement period is what it comes down to. So we're still within in the range as long as they do what they're supposed to do. Now, if the stuff they say they're going to file Friday, it doesn't come in, or it's not what we think it is, well, then we're back to square one.
But the 20-day announcement can be up to
45 days. Depending on the paper.
27 or something in the case of weekly papers and when their deadline is.
But we believe as long as they do the paperwork that they've committed to, I think we'll be fine. But I do think, Madam Chair, going forward, this is kind of where the industry has evolved. And I think there will always be a chance for a carve-out for something that is unique that may not be there for we don't need this till the actual hearing. But this is, in my opinion, the way we should be going forward. We don't do AML projects until the application is completed with all the paperwork. We don't do many carve-outs for the pipelines being completed. So for natural gas projects, we don't do hardly any carve-outs for those types of generation. So why are we doing all these carve-outs for wind? I don't think going forward that's the right approach. It's an evolving industry.
Well, I think we've done plenty of carve-outs for transmission lines and other things. They aren't as obvious because we haven't identified them, and we're getting late filed exhibits at meetings or new, you know, studies handed to us all the time for different projects. But so the plan with this one is what's the date set? Has there been a hearing date set for this one already? Hold dates.
We've got hold dates in late September. We've got several dates in October that we think might work that we haven't checked with all of you. But right now, I want the company to get the paperwork in, and we can go through it again and make sure that it's what we all think we need. And if there's something that one of you sees that you've not asked for, then please bring that to Julie and Zach as well.
Well, I'm sure fine with that in this case as far as a real long-term guidance on all kinds of siting. I want to think a little bit more about good exceptions might be necessary. But I'm in favor of moving forward in this case, as you laid out, that if they're expecting to have it in by Friday, make sure it's all there,
and then we'd have
we'll
a special meeting
it.
Next week.
If all the paperwork is correct, yes. I would ask you guys to figure out what works for that.
I'm pretty flexible next week.
Mm-hmm. Me too. All right.
That's all I had, Madam Chair, on that.
Okay. Let's see. Update on unpaid one-call invoices. This is just, I wanted to share with you, I went to the one-call board meeting last week and had a good discussion with them on the unpaid invoice issue once again. Basically, I kind of supported what Vic outlined to them in terms of what we talked about at our last meeting, said there's some other opportunities for ways to collect these funds. You guys should be looking at those. And they pushed back and said, we don't even care about, we don't care about the money. We just want this law enforced. And so in our discussion with them, I emphasized that this is a partnership, that we aren't the only entity involved in this, and we aren't the only one responsible for making sure that the contractors know what's required and the differences between state laws and all of this stuff that they complain about. So they decided that there's going to be a sort of a three-step process where they're going to add some more language to their billing about what's required and what can happen to them if they don't pay up. There's going to be a letter from the one-call board. If they don't follow through, the one-call board is going to send a letter to them outlining what's required under law and why they have to pay it. And then thirdly, if they still aren't getting paid, we entertain the possibility of doing a letter from here, kind of what we do to people when they aren't responding to our, or when you send them a notification that there's been a complaint, basically saying you need to let us know and here's the penalties if you don't provide, respond. And so we kind of came up with a plan for them to try to get a little more clear in their billing and a little bit more threatening, quite honestly, about what the ramifications are if they don't pay. So I think they are owning up a little bit more responsibility to trying to get the enforce the law themselves just by using some of that additional language. So that's kind of where we settled on that whole issue. Just wanted to update you on that. And anything else on that, Pat?
Nope, that sounded okay. That sounded like what I heard, too.
We need Alana in here for this zoning piece.
What we're just still talking about, that may be an area that we have to explore legislation. I'm not sure we can continue to have the kinds of allotments we've had, plus a 10% reduction, and then become the enforcement arm for amounts that are too small that no one else wants to do anything about. And all of a sudden, we just inherit that. And in order to follow the kinds of procedures, very detailed and exact legal procedures that we do in other complaint cases, and so we don't want to start doing these things in a sloppy manner when we do everything else by the book. I'm just not sure we have the budget to do that. It might be something we have to address with the legislature.
They emphasize a couple things. One, they don't want us diverting our resources away from the complaints, which they view as the top priority, and that they would, if we needed, it sounded like they would readily accept responsibility for helping to fund a position here for one-call enforcement through a variety of methods, and they would advocate for that being a self-funded through them, either through additional fees for the locates or any number of other methods where they would help fund a one-call person here. And I said, that's great to know. We might need to take you up on that. We'll see how things settle out after this round of budget cuts and how the PUD workload settles out where the new normal is here and how we are able to address the one-call enforcement. And so I said that I appreciated that offer and we'd be, in touch with them on that in future as needed.
When I think of some of those contracting companies as well as utilities, up in the oil patch, the next surge, or even at the current rate of construction up there, to add more cost onto their locate fee, going to the Public Service Commission to collect these fees from a few people who won't pay. I'm not sure I'm
well, they weren't
in favor of that either.
They weren't talking about just for this purpose, but for the one call in general. I mentioned that, you know, we've taken on a lot of responsibility here and actually exercised the responsibility that was probably already here and haven't asked for any additional support from the legislature for that. The PUD position partially this last time around has helped with that, but really we haven't made note to the legislature of all the additional work we've taken on for one call enforcement. And so, you know, it could, that could be one piece of it, but I think the bulk of it is the stuff that staff is already doing. Okay. County zoning, is Alana here?
No, she must have an appointment or something. I don't find her.
Oh.
No. She I'll just give you an update on staff has looked at this. Alana's looked at it. I've looked at it. And I found it interesting that they adopt some of our definitions verbatim, like the difference between the definition of gathering and the definition of transmission, which is scary to me. But they don't have anything in particular that we would be concerned with. And so they, of course, can have something more stringent than what we have in our rules if they wish to do that. If they have something less stringent than what we might adopt in an order, then the company would have to follow what we adopt. Mm-hmm. But they would still be meeting the county's requirements in that situation. So we really didn't see anything that... we would pass along. I guess it was Ron Ness that wanted to know if we saw anything that he should know before he went back to visit with them, with the county.
Okay.
And we didn't really see anything that we would pass along to him. So,
is Alana going to close the loop with Ron then? Or you?
I can.
Okay. Any other thoughts, Randy
or
Brian?
I want to just clarify that I understand it right. In the case of anything that is... in more than one county, there's a procedure where if their standards, if one of the county's standards are more strict than ours, that we can overrule that.
If the
understand that correctly, in the case of a pipeline that traverses 10 counties, one county just basically rules it out with strict rules, we can overturn that, correct?
Correct. That's what I heard from legal counsel.
I would say that is correct, but the case law for the state commissions on transmission lines is very supportive of that. That we'll probably win that one. For pipelines, a little bit less tested, but there are provisions in place that we can do that.
But we have to show good cause,
understanding. So. I don't know there's been successful defense of that pipeline law, if you will, where transmission law has been tested over the years, where mm-hmm. commissions have overruled a county that tried to zone out a transmission line, and they've upheld the commission's orders. But the commission overruling on a pipeline, I don't know this necessarily mm-hmm. tested, so it's not quite as easy as we just do it and it's you win.
Interesting. Okay, anything else?
Well, if I was sure that we could not do that in the case of a pipeline, that a county would be able to completely stop a major pipeline project without good cause, then I would be very much in favor of getting involved with this. But I'm still relying on the presumption here that we can prevail on that, with the understanding that it hasn't been litigated. But.
And you're comfortable with the presumption that you're making? Sounds like you might be, based on counsel's response to those kinds.
That's what I understood from reading that response, was that we could override those unduly strict county guidelines.
Mm-hmm. And that's an important message back to Ron, that's our belief, and that's why we aren't raising red flags with this. because that is vital. If we can't do that, then how could you ever develop these big projects?
Sure.
Okay.
Pass that along.
All right. That concludes the discussion matters. Anybody have anything more for this part of the agenda? If not, we can move to scheduling, always the best part. Everyone's favorite. We end with the worst. We start with it.
Where the fights break out.
Yeah. All right. We've got Petroleum Council meeting October. Let's see. Formal hearing on the damage enforcement.
Sarah's got
MDU Pi. And somebody picked Big Fin to that. Okay, so Sarah, let's start with that one. The formal hearing on the damage prevention enforcement.
Okay, so I have some potential dates for a hearing. They're all in October. The best dates are the 18th and the 27th, and also could do it on the 3rd and the 7th.
18th is a good day before a commission meeting for me. Or the 27th is fine, too.
And that would be here in the office, right? Yeah, the 18th would work for me.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. We'll do the 18th of October, then.
Okay.
What time?
9?
Sure.
9 a.m.
You want it at 9?
9 a.m.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you folks want to block that off for? I don't. You never know with these things. They can go an hour. They can take all stinking day.
Probably should block the day just to be safe.
That's what I was thinking, just block the day, and then we'll, if we get done early, then we have time to do something else.
Yep.
Well, we always have a busy afternoon before the meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
So do we need to maybe start it even earlier?
I'm fine with
I think 9 is fine.
I'm not sure where Phoenix Construction is coming from.
They're here in Bismarck.
Think 9's okay?
I mean, 8:30 would be fine, but I wouldn't do it any earlier than that.
8:30 is fine.
8:30 then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 8:30 on October 18th.
Okay. And then, let's see, MDU Pi meeting. We've got some proposed dates for that one. Preferences for those August 30th, the 7th. We could do the informal time slot on the 7th, September 7th. We don't have anything scheduled during that informal. It doesn't look like. Sound all right?
I don't know of anything coming up that we would schedule in then. So, I mean, it's 3 weeks out.
The Granville thing, maybe. But that's probably.
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and do this on
okay.
The informal slot.
Wednesday, the 7th, MDU Pi meeting.
1:30?
At 1:30. Okay. The Petroleum Council meeting with the pipeline group, right? October. These dates come from them, Daryl?
Yes, they do, Commissioner. Those are the only dates that Ron Ness is available in October.
17th through the 21st. Interesting. I like that last week. You got a bunch of traveler stuff, the earlier ones.
October 10th doesn't really work for me.
Okay. Let's look at the last week. That middle week is kind of tough for me, too. And I'm pretty open on the 24th, the week of the 24th, it looks like.
Have a conflict at 26, but wide open 24, 25, or 27.
Let's say the 24th, and that usually goes. Does that work for you, Randy?
Yep.
From 11:30 to 1:30 or something, right, Daryl?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Good. On the 24th. Okay, and then the Pat, you wanted to add the FIMSA semi-annual meeting discussion with them. Did he give us, we had set that for the 3rd, and that didn't work.
Correct, and so he's very close to that. He's looking at the 5th as the preferred for him of October, yep.
Can we use informal time on the 5th of October for that? That's a hearing day, a commission meeting day.
Possibly. I don't know of anything that we need for informal, but.
Well, let's use it. I mean, those dates are out there and blocked. We're here that day. I like doing it on a day where we know we've got to be in the office already, so.
So that would be 1:30?
October 5th at 1:30. All right.
How long does that usually take?
2 hours, usually. Hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah, but it's pretty much, I mean, it's just an update on, you know, the general discussion with them on pipeline.
I won't be able to stay for the whole thing. Yeah. I have Upper Great Plains and Fargo.
That's on the 6th already.
No, they moved it to the 5th.
Well, then I had that conflict, too. Thought it was a 6th.
Okay.
Wow. The other possibility is the 4th in the morning.
That works.
Yeah, that's fine.
That works for me.
Okay. What time? 10? Or did they propose a time, Pat?
No, just the morning.
Okay. 10 o'clock? October 4th at 10 for the PHMSA semiannual meeting. Okay, then staff picnic. Well, since summer is almost over, it's probably not going to be a summer picnic. But do you guys have any... Daryl, it seemed like I thought that there was a date that made sense, but I'm not remembering it. Should we just... Today's the 17th. Well, we could still get it in before things get too crazy, but do we want to do it before Labor Day?
I'm not too much of one for planning these things, so I don't know how much they really take or...
Well, let's see, that weekend, that looks crazy. Oofta.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we have to make it
semi-annual and skip this year?
I think we should do it personally. What about September 22nd.
Works for me.
Or the night or the 21st. What about the 21st? Might be better. We're here for a commission meeting that day.
Not by me, either one.
Daryl, does that?
That works.
Raise any red flags?
No, I think that's fine.
Okay, all right. We'll come up with a plan. Let's 21st. Put the 21st.
Do we have a location?
Let's just call it picnic. No, we'll come up with a plan. Okay. Staff picnic.
I have a scheduling item for
Can't
you.
Can't call it summer staff picnic in September. We'll
just call it autumn, fall.
The gathering.
Autumn fest. There we go. Staff gathering.
Staff gathering.
Maybe we'll luck out with a beautiful fall day.
So it's the 21st?
Yeah.
Where is this going to be held?
We don't know yet.
Oh.
Chrisman Ranch, Highway 200, west of Hazen.
54, 55,
200. Okay, did you have one more?
I have a question for my colleagues, Madam Chair. I have a conflict that has arisen on November 9th, dealing with lots of different things with travel on the 10th and Veterans Day and all the above, but we have a commission meeting that day, and so I would like to offer up that find a different day for that meeting, but I don't really know. The 16th would work for me the next week because I'll be back from NARUC on Tuesday, or the 2nd would work. But I just wanted to see what your thoughts all were.
So we wouldn't, if we did it the 2nd.
We got quite a chunk.
We got a big gap, so.
That's the problem.
Well, 3 weeks. But if we went to the 16th, we'd have four weeks from the previous one.
I think the second makes more sense. I'm not sure why we did that to begin with.
Well, and the problem we have, the November 2nd, we still have 4 weeks till our November 30th meeting. So we, for whatever reason, it...
Well, there's election day in there that I think that week we got goofy. I'm not sure. Nehru always throws things off because, I mean, you have to... I would typically be gone on the 16th for Nehru.
Right.
Because that usually... If you're going to leave on that Tuesday, you're going to skip out on an afternoon of meetings.
Yeah.
And they don't like it when I do that on that gas committee, so that makes it hard to have a meeting that day.
Well, I'm okay with November 2nd. I've advised the 9th. I just wanted to...
You can can you call in on the 9th, or you're pretty tied up with travel that day?
I don't think I'll be able to call in that day.
What about the 10th? Could we just move it ahead?
No, because that's the conflict I have. I don't know what my schedule is on the 10th or the 11th. Mm. I just know I'll be out of state doing...
The whole week, or if we moved it the other direction, to the 8th or 7th?
Well, the 8th is election day, so I don't want to have a commission meeting that day.
That's just a bad week that
the 7th, that would I be okay with.
It's just a bad
is that
week.
Better? I mean, I'm fine with the 2nd, but it does give a long time for... You know, our next meeting then. We can always call a special meeting if we have stuff that comes up.
Yeah.
So why don't we just do it on the 2nd? If we have things that come up that month, we'll just call a special meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good.
Did we schedule the Granville?
No, he wanted to talk with the mayor and stuff.
I can never quite tell how full your calendars are getting. If they're getting really full, maybe... there would be dates that you would prefer I ask them about.
I don't know about my colleagues.
September is looking pretty crazy already.
September 16th is when the League of Cities starts, and just in deference to Granville people, maybe.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's a good thought, Randy.
That's the one we're going to be at MISO, though. You're going to be in Minneapolis. I'll be at MISO that part of it, so
yeah.
16th doesn't work.
That's right.
But the 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
Do we have to do a public notice on this? Or this is just a meeting with an informal with them?
It's an informal. I don't know that they have to notice
just
it.
Just on the public announcement.
22nd. The 22nd looks pretty good.
It's fine.
September. And the 23rd looks good too.
They're both fine with me.
Yep.
The 22nd works for me.
I would say after 10:30 that day, on the 22nd.
That's perfect.
Or the 23rd. I would be available, too, after 10.
23rd's okay with everybody, too?
I'd sure after prefer the 22nd.
Okay. But 23rd is after 10 as well?
Yeah. Okay. There's two thoughts, anyway. Okay, can we adjourn? We all done? Excellent. Very good. Thanks, everyone.